1 John 4, verses 7 through 11. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. How important is it, do you think, to have Christians love one another? Do you think that's very important? If we don't love one another, then we do not know God. Verses 7 and 8 of this passage. We don't love God, verse 20. God does not dwell in us, verse 12. We are not children of God, chapter 5, verse 1. And we abide in death, 3, verse 14. It is very important that Christians love each other. Now, if you are a believer, you are born of God. And this means that God dwells in you by his Holy Spirit. Now, if God dwells in this believer here, and God dwells in this believer here, and God is one, then certainly these two believers would deeply love one another, right? Is this how it is in this church? No doubt you will admit that love is not perfect in your life, in your family, and even in this church. That's because sin still dwells in us. Our sin is always fighting against the God-given urge within us to love one another. And so we need to be reminded and exhorted to love each other, don't we? And we need to be told how to love one another from the Bible as well. Well, this is what our text is about. It tells us that we need to love one another with the love of God. That's our theme. Loving one another with the love of God. Loving one another with the love of God. Our text shows us the source of this love, the demonstration of this love, and the goal of this love. The source, demonstration, and goal of this love. Well, we can have a lot of different ideas about love, but John here says, verse 7, that love comes from God. And in verse 8, God is love. Love is something that belongs to the very substance and heart of who God is. God is love. Before the world came to be, before there was any creation, God was eternally a God of love. You might ask, well, who did God love? God loved himself, and God loves himself. There is a complete bond of perfect, infinite love between the persons of the Godhead. The Father infinitely loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father, and so on. This love is what we can call a give and embrace kind of love. The Father gives himself completely to the Son, and he embraces the Son perfectly back to himself. And the Son gives of himself to the Father, and embraces the Father to himself. And the Spirit gives himself to the Father and the Son, and the Father and the Son receive the Spirit to himself. The very nature of the Trinity, of God being one, can be summarized as that God is love. In John 14, verse 11, Jesus said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, referring to the mutual indwelling of the persons of the Trinity. John 5:20, the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. There's a perfect giving of himself the Father to the Son. Jesus says in John 14:31, I love the Father. Well, this love within God Himself that you don't see in other religions. Allah is just one person. It's impossible to have a love within the Godhead if you have a Muslim concept of God. But this love within the Godhead between the persons of the Trinity is the basis of His love to others. God's love within Himself goes to people on earth and flows through them to others. If we imagine like the sun, right in the core of the sun, where energy is created through, comes through various processes, and then it emanates off the sun and shines to the earth, and we receive the heat and the light from the sun, and that can radiate and bounce off various objects on earth. But the source is the sun. Well, God Himself is the source of love, and He shines that love to believers, and it shines out from them to others. And this is why, in the middle of this passage, dealing with an exhortation to love one another, if you look in verses 7 and 11, He says, dear friends, love one another. Right? But within this passage and spilling over into various other verses nearby, John is emphasizing over and over the love of God. Verse 7, love comes from God. Verse 8, God is love. Verse 9 speaks of the love of God being shown. Verse 10, He loved us. Verse 11, God so loved us. Verse 12, His love is made complete in us when He lives in us and we love one another. In verse 16, John speaks of the love God has for us. And again, God is love. Verse 19, we love because He first loved us. Well, this is God. A God who is love. This love is an eternal, an abiding, steady, constant, powerful love. It is part of His nature. It is who He is. This love of God is not superficial. It's not just kind of on the outside or an add-on. Here's God, and He has some love as well. No, He is love, the source of love. And so, in application to love one another, we need to know the love of God. We need to abide in God and have His love abiding in us. We need to abide in His love. He must abide and be in us, and us in Him, so that His love is shed abroad in our hearts to others, to one another. And if we want to reflect this one aspect of God, that it's very part and parcel of who He is, it's part of the core of His being, our love to others is not to be a superficial, external add-on to who we are and how we interact with others. It needs to be a genuine love, as Paul says in Romans 12:9, let love be genuine. Well, our text moves on to tell us about how God has shown His love. We see this in verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now note a few things about how God shows His love. Notice that God initiates this love. He is the one who first shows this love, as we see here, verse 10. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And as an application to us, love needs to be something that we initiate, isn't it, in our relationships? So often we can say, well, I love you, brother or sister, husband, wife, father, mother, fellow believer, but we're just passive in it, and we always can be just kind of reacting and just giving no more than the other person. But true love initiates. It's looking out at the needs of the other person, studying, getting to know the other person, and seeking to begin, take the first step. Maybe there's been an argument, or disagreement. And you're, well, I'm not going to be the first one to apologize here. But love says, isn't the one started to think evil. It says, well, I will take the first step. I will humble myself and initiate. God shows his love first. Also, God shows his love deliberately. There is thought. There is foresight, conscious choice. He sent his Son when we were still in our sin. God showed his love by sending his Son into the world. Well, this sent here implies there's that God is not in the world already. There's this separation, isn't there, between the world that's in sin, in John's understanding, especially of the world, and God. It's because of our sin that God is not walking freely among us, as it were, like he was in the Garden of Eden. But there's a separation. But God shows his love. He sends his Son all the way over to this world, a world of rebels against him, a world that has shown that they don't want him. They don't want his laws. It's a world of cheaters, liars, lustful people, people who are greedy, who are gossipers, self-seekers, drunkards, child abusers, adulterers, murderers, fornicators, idolaters, covenant breakers, sodomites, disrespectful, proud, disobedient people. That's the world composed of these kinds of people. And God considers and he deliberately sends his Son into this world. Well, how is it with your relationships? Are you able to, you see, you know someone else at school, perhaps, who's left out of the crowd, maybe is lonely, and you think, well, the easy way is just to continue with my own little circle of friends. But maybe it's time to take some deliberate action and go out of your comfort zone and go and make friends with that person. Maybe you are driving home from work. The easy way is to kind of be like a stream that just follows the easiest route, a blind, dead, lifeless stream of water that just takes the easy way. You come home and you want to just think about yourself, tell about your troubles of the day, take your easy chair and have a coffee and say, where's my food? But love says, I'm going to think ahead. Maybe my wife had a difficult day today. Maybe my children had a difficult day today. And I'm going to pray for them on my way home and ask how things were. Love has this foresight and thinks deliberately, thinks ahead. Further, God shows this love, his great love, at a cost. It cost God what? His Son, as an atoning sacrifice, as our text says. Now imagine you're there in the Old Testament, and it was time to bring a sacrifice to the temple. What would you do? Well, you could look over your neighbor's flock and say, they got lots of sheep. I have a few here. I don't want to give up one of my sheep. Maybe I'll go and steal one of my neighbor's and bring that to the temple as a sacrifice. Is that really a sacrifice? It didn't really cost you anything. No, you were to take your own sheep or your own goat, your own animal, and it would be killed. There's a sacrifice involved where this animal is taking your place, and the blood would be shed on the altar and so on. Have you ever thought of the cost it would be to lose your own son or daughter? Maybe it's happened to someone here. Terrible, horrific thing. My aunt lost her son to suicide. And she's a believer. And this is my cousin then, a little bit younger than me, killed himself. And to this day, when I look at my aunt, there's an abiding sense of sadness on her face. It's a deep thing that she lost a son. Abraham had to give up his own son and drive the knife on that altar. And he was even willing to do that, even though he didn't have to do that. But God gave his Son, whom he loved, forever. And he gave him up to this horrific death as our sin bearer on the cross. Well, the application to us can come from 1 John 3, verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Well, love comes at a cost, doesn't it? Is there such a thing as love without a cost? Is there such a thing as a beautiful fire, a nice bonfire without some fuel being burned up? Well, love comes at a personal cost, doesn't it? Maybe you are a single person and you desire to get married, and your thoughts are circling around yourself and your needs, and you think, well, I would like to get married. I would feel better, and I would like to have this kind of person marry me. And this person could do this for me and that for me. And you think that this is some sort of idea of love. Well, maybe we need to reflect and think, really, love, one pastor said to me once, he said, what is love? And this is in marriage counseling, and he said, it's self-denial. Maybe you need to start thinking, well, how can I be a person of service? How can I learn now to already begin giving of myself to others around me, in my own family, in the congregation? Become a person who can give love. That's the important thing in a relationship, isn't it? To be a giver of love, and at a cost to yourself within a relationship. So God gives his love at a great cost, and he shows his love, finally, with practical action. It doesn't just remain in himself and he feels it within himself, but he does something. He actually sent his son to this world. He did this, and the son came. He came to us and met our real needs with a real solution. And this is what love does too. It meets the real needs with the real solutions and cares for those around us. The application here, 1 John 3, verses 17 and 18. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Not just speaking about it, thinking about it, but actually taking practical steps to demonstrate self-denying love to the other person. Jonathan in the Bible made practical plans to help David, didn't he? The Philippians, at one point, they sent a gift of money for Paul, and that was a help. Barnabas might have said, well, I really love the Lord, and I love what the apostles are doing. Well, what did he do? He took a parcel of land and sold it, took the money, and gave it to the apostles. Jesus, even on the cross, suffering, looked out, and he put John in charge of his mother Mary to take care of Mary. Well, love cares for the other person. And so we will be seeking to do tangible, real acts of love to the other person. Maybe a little application to children. You might say, well, do you love your mother? Let me ask you, do you love your mother? And do you love your father? Then let me ask you, will you make a resolution to not depart from the teachings that your parents give you? It's probably nothing will hurt a father or mother's heart more than children that will turn away from the Word of God, at least to Christian parents. And so let me encourage you to follow in the path that they have laid out for you in their life and in their teaching, and hold to the Word of God, hold on to the gospel. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him to be your Savior. Well, this is the giving part of love. As we mentioned, that God's love is a giving and a receiving and embracing kind of love. Well, giving has a goal, and this goal is not just self-promotion or putting the other person down. Let's look at the goal of God's love for us. That's our final point, the goal of this love. At the end of verse 9, John states the goal of God's love for us. He says, that we might live through him. Well, this is the embrace part of God's love for us. He gives himself to us in the person of his Son. Amazing how God gives. Has he withheld anything? Did he just send an angel? Did he just send a few prophets? Did he just speak? No, he himself came in the person of his Son. He gave his Son. And he embraces us back to himself in the Spirit that we might live through him. Well, let me briefly pause to note that there is no other path to eternal life than through Jesus. Jesus is the life. Having the Son is having life, eternal life. In him we have life. Well, this life that God gives is dwelling in God and God dwelling in us by the Holy Spirit. Verses 12 and 13, if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. Well, isn't this amazing? God's goal in sending his Son to the world, this realm of sin and death, is to make us alive in him. And not just merely alive out there. So keeping us out of eternal death, and we can live over here. And he'll remake a place for us to live out there, but he will remain over here. No, he makes us alive in union with him. The Holy Spirit living in us and being in the very presence of God forever. This is the goal of God's love. Reaching way down, giving of himself so that he can embrace us way up to himself, that we might live through him. Well, if we are dwelling in God and living in his love, then we will love one another in this way. And this means that we want the good of the other person. We really, genuinely want the promotion and the good of the other person rather than our own glory or the fulfillment of a duty to make us feel better about ourselves. Right? Love is not just a self-seeking thing ultimately, where, oh, look at what I'm doing for so-and-so. Right? And you can chalk it up on the wall, or you've donated a certain amount here and you're promoting your name or your company or whatever it is. But love is not seeking of itself, right? It's genuinely caring for the real needs of the other person. And secondly, it means we are willing to welcome and receive and accept other Christians to ourselves. So it's not just giving of ourselves to the other person and we kind of remain distant. It's a receiving of others to ourselves. And this involves kind of an opening up of ourselves, doesn't it? In some ways, and for some people, maybe it's the most difficult part. You can imagine a person who maybe has a lot of money and is able to do a lot of things to help other people with the money, but kind of holds back his or her self. But love does that, giving and however we're able to give to others and help them, whether it's emotional or time or whatever it is that we give to each other. But it's also an opening up of ourselves and embracing others to ourselves in a way that's appropriate to the situation and the relationship. We can maybe view people as a project or volunteer, but yet keep people away from ourselves. Well, let me close with a little story that maybe illustrates this kind of love in a small way. I once read a true story of two boys, John and Danny, who were in boarding school. Well, John was a little bit of a bully, and he was always bullying Danny around. He would kick him often and took his pet rabbit once and locked it up in a cage for quite some time. And near the end of the year, John was saddened to hear some news that there was a contagious disease that was in his family, and so he would have to spend the summer at the boarding school by himself, and he wouldn't be able to go home. And this deeply saddened him. Well, Danny began to think in his mind, here's John who had been picking on him throughout the year. But he thought, well, John might really appreciate coming to my house for the summer. And so he offered to John and said, you can come to my place for the summer. And this touched John so much that John accepted it and was moved to tears because of this and asked Danny for forgiveness. Let us love one another, dear friends, just as God loved us so that he sent his Son in order that we might live through him. Amen.